Good to see everyone out. I'd like to welcome everyone to New Harmony Baptist Church. I'm glad to be back in the house of the Lord for another day. Thank Him for the blessings of life He's given us, and ask He bless in our service. I know we got a busy day coming up. But first of all, in prayer requests, remember Pam and her family. You know, Betty passed away. Be having her funeral this afternoon, so be much in prayer for that family. And in the coming days, I know she'll need it. Remember those that are still suffering from the virus and different things. Most of y'all know Vandy and Benton Sprayberry. Their mother has been in hospital with coronavirus. So she stands in need of your prayers today. And continue to remember Jeremiah. I guess he is getting better as Mama went up and took care of him and got him going again. So remember him and pray that rehab goes well and he's back going as good as he ever did. Do we have any others this morning? I'm sure I'm forgetting some. Remember Jane and Jackie? Continue to remember we got Ken G back with us this morning. He told me I need to shave bad. We may have to do that one day. But I was just thinking about the coronavirus and everything it's done. Have you thought about people's hair that's changed since coronavirus? I mean, some of us got it on our face, some of us got it long, and it just changed everything about our hair and everything. So we'll see what comes of that. But we got any more prayer requests? I got one special one. I mentioned in Sunday school, some of y'all down there with us, that Franklin Graham has called today to be a national day, another national day of prayer and fasting for our nation. It's no secret what's coming up in a little while will be our election. And without getting all through it, you know what's at stake. There's the way of life we're used to, I believe, is up for vote. I believe our being able to worship freely is up for vote. So I ask you to pray and go vote, of course, but pray sometime today. We're going to pray in the end of service like we did last week, but sometime today, get you some time. I know we got a busy day. But this, even tonight, after the trunk or treat or whatever, gets you some time to get into your prayer closet the Bible teaches about and cry out to God on behalf of our nation. We stand in need of it. We discussed it in Sunday school, and we understand we don't know everything that God's will is, but I know that He desires our petitions, and we're going to preach in a little while and show you where it makes a difference. And He's searching for those that will. And so we'll go forward, but again, pray hard for our nation, pray for lost souls, pray for those that have no concern for Him, and pray for your community, pray for our community, pray for our whole state, and that's all we can do. We tend to think about what can I do to change things. You can pray. So that's what we ask you to do today. Any other prayer requests? Not, we will go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we thank You for this day You've allowed us to live. We thank You for the gift of life. Thank You for the gift of our families and our church family. And God, we ask You to bless them this morning. Lord, we pray for Pam and her family as they lay her mother to rest. We pray You comfort her, not only today, but in the upcoming days, her and Crimson and the rest of the family as only You can. We pray for those that are suffering from the virus, Miss Verdie Mae Sprayberry and those other ones. Don't mean to look over anyone, but just touch them. is meant nothing. They was, I know we do have small children here, but they had gotten to the point of Baal worship, and Baal worship was very sex-oriented. We as a nation are the same way. They had gotten very, very vile. I'm not going to go into that for sake of some people, young folks in here, but they'd gotten a vile way in this type of lifestyle. And God was telling them that there was something coming that they better be ready for. And he was looking for one who would cry against and cry for the nation and intercede for it. And the title of this sermon is The Hunt Continues. The hunt continues. You see, Misty talked about change this morning. And we know that life changes quickly. I told them in Sunday school, you want to see how change is, get out your wedding picture. But don't go too crazy or you end up with a big change called divorce. But get out your wedding pictures or get out your high school pictures and you find that you have changed. Your spouse has changed. You get out your baby pictures and you'll find out children has changed. You'll also find out that baby you thought was so pretty when it was born really was pretty ugly, matter of fact. But when you look and it was a beautiful thing to you at that time. But seriously, change takes place very quickly. And change happens and we sometimes realize it's happening. Especially us when we look in the mirror and we're as pretty as we ever was. That's kind of the way we do as a nation. We haven't realized why things are coming upon us that are here. Why are we dealing, this is on our nation, but the whole world, why are we dealing with a virus that seems not to be handled? Why are we dealing with people who have no problem with people murders in Chicago and these other places at all-time high? But what's more, or what's worse than that is we're killing our unborn at an alarming rate. Probably have killed the person who would have already cured coronavirus. I say that because a 14-year-old girl, y'all may have read this, has found a molecule that will attach itself to the coronavirus and do away with it in a certain way. She's 15 years old. So you tell me that we haven't, we probably have, we may have even killed one who would have cured cancer. We don't, but we killed millions of these. And we stand here today wondering, why in the world are we surprised nation is standing at a crossroads possibly becoming something we don't want it to become. And we taught in Sunday school this morning that when Israel would get out of the will of God, God would send an evil leader to oppress them and to bring them back to himself. In church, I want to tell you something, that we stand today exact same place Jerusalem stood. We stand today the same place in Gomorrah stands. You cannot expect that God bless a nation that has turned its back on him. He will not do it. Now, what do we do? Give up? No, we don't give up. We cry out to God. He gives us directions in Ezekiel chapter 22, verses 29 and 30. We'll read. People of the land have used oppression, had exercised robbery, have vexed the poor and needy. Yea, they have oppressed the stranger wrongly. I sought for a man among them. Boy, this is a good verse. It hurts, but it's a good verse. I sought for a man among them that should make up the hedge and stand in the gap for me for land, that I should not destroy it. Found none. Father, think this verse. God, it's hard on me. It's hard on, should be hard on all men. To read this, understand that you still have found one. God, I ask you to use us mightily. God, touch our church, touch our nation. God, touch our leaders, touch our people as they vote. God, preserve our nation. God, we cry out today for you to have mercy upon us, God. And I know that we have done wrong. We have sinned. But God, forgive us. These blessings in Jesus' name. Amen. The hunt continues. You see in that verse, he says, I sought. That means he was looking for. He was searching out for somebody. Hey, listen, do you realize that in that verse, it does not say, I searched in. It does not say I search for me. It doesn't say I search for 10. It said I search for a man. And teachers and y'all in here, that's for the me in books. That's about every one of you. Does that noun singular to you? That sounds one to me. Because it says as I sought for a man. That is one among them that should make up the head. So he was searching for a man. And some people try to say, well, that verse could mean women, and it maybe could. That verse could mean children, and maybe it can. But when you look up in your own concordance of the meaning of that man, it means a male person that God was for men. God today is looking for a man who will stand in the hedge and make the gap for the land that we live in today, which is the United States of America. According to the Word of God, he still has not found him, and he's still hunting. You say, he hasn't found him all these years? No. He still has not found him. How do I know that? Because our nation is in a bad distress. Our world is stressed today. Our whole world is upside down. We are being controlled by a little bitty virus that cannot control. We cannot hold of it. We do, and then it wraps back up, and it seems things are going crazy. I told him this morning, Sunday, I was watching the Weather Channel, and we have snow up north and in the Midwest, and in the plain, getting like 2 and 5 feet of snow. We've got a fire burning up Colorado. Of course, we've got the fires in all those places. We've got a tropical storm forming in the Gulf again that's going to come probably to Lake Charles, Louisiana again. We'll be the third one in that area. And the forecast, you know what he said? Well, it's 2020. Listen, 2020 is just a number that we put in the year. Search to the Word of God, and when God brought oppression on his people for discipline, it always either an evil leader, or it was always nature, where it was wind, fire, and water, and those things, that means an earthquake. It's always that way. That's what God uses. And they say, well, the climate change we brought about all by ourselves, a hogwash. Is that God is pouring his wrath out upon us, and we're not ready for it because we cannot not find a man who is willing to stand in the gap. So I ask you a question today. Have we got him here? Is that man in our midst today? Is he here? I'm asking myself that question. I'm asking you that question. Are you Christian? There's somebody that's missing. God was searching the city to just one that was righteous. Just one. That's all he did. Was one. What would make this man different? What would make this man different than me? What would make this man different than you? What would make the man different from all the people in Cleburne, all the men in Cleburne County? What would make this man different? Let me tell you what would make him different. He righteous. He would be righteous. Now we know that we're made righteous through the blood sacrifice that day. We still are made righteous that way today. But listen, they could not find, he could find one that had stayed away from the evil's arm. He could not find one who put him first. He could not find one who loved his family second. And his third, he could not find one. You see, the problem is we don't love God first. If you love God first and most of all, then you'll have no problem getting your parties in order. It won't be a problem. If you love him, he says to love him with all your mind, heart, soul, and body. Love him with your everything. I say this a little bit. D.L. Moody says we have found this man. And been gone for years, but he said that, and he was one of the great evangelists that ever lived. He said, still we've not seen a man who sold out to God. Listen, to today, after all the years of the scripture, God still cannot find a man who is completely sold out to him, who put him first, who put his family second, and others second, and puts his nation up there, right there with him. Why, you reckon? And by the way, God will listen to the prayers of a man like that. You say, well, how do we know that if we found him, he would listen to him? Because God can't lie. The Bible says God can't lie. And the Bible says God changes not. We have talked about the change all day long. But one constant is God. And the other constant we have is God's Word. It does not change. It will never change. If it was wrong then it's wrong now. If it was wrong for Jerusalem to be married and all kind of craziness like they was, then it's still wrong today. And listen, until we get things right, God will not turn away the wrath from us. As a matter of fact, he'll keep pouring it out. God to the prayers. James chapter 5, verse 16-18. Confess your faults one another, pray one for another, you may be healed. The effectual prayer of a what? A righteous man availeth much. Elias was a man subject to passions as we are, and he prayed earnestly it might not rain. It rained on earth for the space of 3 years. In 6 months. And he prayed again and gave rain. Rain to earth brought with her fruit. Elijah was a man as I am, and he would sin. He was a man that sinned. We are people that sin. But listen, Elijah just strove to be righteous with God.
He tried his absolute best, and we're going to try. We should try our best, but the fact is, at times we're going to fail. But I wonder, has there ever been one that really tried his best? You see, we all have what's important to us. And I mentioned this in Sunday school. I think about upcoming election and what's at stake. And I use a religious freedom as an excuse, I think. But I think what I'm afraid of is losing a fishy lifestyle. Because I'm like the rest of you in here. Have a pretty decent house. I have nice cars. I have things that I want. I have things I don't even need. I have things that take my away from God by the way. But listen, I'm afraid of not being able to worship God. Or I'm afraid of losing the great life I have now. Be honest, we're probably scared to death of losing our comforts. This man is a missing person. The person is still missing. It's a righteous man. There was a missing prayer. The missing prayer. Jeremiah chapter 29, verses 7 through 15. It says, in the peace of the city, whether I have caused you to be carried away captives, and pray the Lord for it, for in the peace thereof shall you have peace. For thus saith the Lord, host of God of Israel, let not your prophets and your diviners that be in the midst of you deceive, neither hearken to dreams which you cause to be dreamed. For they prophesy falsely unto you in my name. I have not sent them, saith the Lord. For thus saith the Lord, that after 70 years be come to Babylon, I will visit you and perform my good towards you, and causing you to return to this place. Now we all know this verse. For I know the thoughts I think towards you, saith the Lord. Thoughts cease, not of evil, and to give an expected end. Then shall you call upon my name, shall you call upon me, and you shall go and pray unto me, and I'll hearken unto you. And you shall see me and find me when you search for me with your heart. And I will be found of you, saith the Lord. I will turn away your captivity. I will gather you from all the nations, from all the places where I have driven you, saith the Lord. And I will bring you into the place when I caused you to be carried away captive. Because you have said that the Lord has raised up prophets in Babylon. There's a prayer missing. Why? Because he just promised us, Jeremiah, what would happen. Yes, he was promised this to Jerusalem, but it's the same thing to us today. We will call upon the name of the Lord and cry out on behalf of our name. And by the way, he says in that verse, you are pray for the place you have been planted. You are to pray for the United States of America. You are to pray for Alabama. You are to pray for your community. You are to pray for your city that you live in. Wherever you live, you are to pray for that place so you may live in peace. When have you prayed for your country? When have you prayed for your city? When have you prayed for your city? No, you know what we'll do? We'll blame it all on somebody else. If we had a different governor in Alabama, things would be different, we'll say. If we had a different this one, if we had a different this one, we always blame it on somebody else. And the fact of the matter is if I would pray for my land, if you would pray for land, then God would hear it and he would heal it. What he says? He says, I know the thoughts I have for you. He says, I know what I'm going to do for you, but I want you to ask me, and I'm going to provide it for you. He says, I'll give you peace. I'll give you an expected end. And the expected end was to be brought back to Jerusalem. That's what was going to happen. They're going to go have to go 70 years, but after that, God was going to restore them. Listen, I don't know how much we may have to go through. I don't know how much, but know that I should be praying for peace for my country. I should be praying for the godly values for my country. I should be praying for my city, for my state, and for my leaders. I should be calling out. And bless God, there is a prayer missing in our churches even for our nations. I remember a time when flags would be in churches. And now a flag in our country, boy, that's something to be hated. You got a man flag, you surely must be full of hate. Must be full. Listen, whatever happened to being patriotic, do you really realize this? We still live best nation in the world. We still live in a nation where if you don't have something, it's just your fault. We still live in a nation where you're given an opportunity. And guess what? We even live in a nation where if you want to be sorry, you can stay at home, they'll feed you. Amen. We got it made pretty good. I don't see what's wrong over here. We should be praying for our nation. We should be praying for our people. And God will answer. He'll listen. It's all that has not changed. Is your prayer the one that could change the nation? Is your prayer the one God's waiting? Is your prayer the one? You say it's got to come from a righteous man. It's got to come from a man who sold out to God. Is your prayer the one God's hunting for? Is your prayer the one that's missing? Is prayer the one that's missing? If we be truthful with ourselves, my prayer is the one that's missing because it ain't getting prayed at all. Most of us don't have prayer life. Most of us don't have a time to cry out to God. Even most of our churches don't have a time. We come and say a little prayer to get things started, and that's it, my friend. In the Word of God, when people needed God to act on behalf of their nation, they called a revival to that place. They'd call all a time of worship, they call a time of praying, and they'd stay for days for this and hours on their knees before God. Today we wonder, well, it's 20, that's our excuse. It's just 2020. We can't do nothing. It's 2020. 2020 is clear vision. Is that not right? 2 Chronicles chapter 7, 14. Listen to this. If my people, if you're Christians, as you, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves, boy, we love a few verses, or what? Shall humble themselves and pray, and seek my faith, and turn from their wicked ways, then will I from heaven, will forgive their sin, will heal their land. If my people, that's you, if you ain't his people today, you can be saved by the grace of God. If he pricks that heart, brother, you can be saved. And pray and seek my faith. Oh, well, we knew some of this, but it says, and turn from your wicked ways. You have wicked ways. I have wicked ways. Bill Graham, he had wicked ways. We all have wicked ways. We all have a sin that so easily sets us up. I have one. You have one. But until we turn from it and have a need to come to God and get serious about this thing, God is not going to heal our land. He says it right there. He says, until you do this. I'm waiting for you to do this. You know what the word repent means? It means to completely from that sin. To be turned from your wicked ways, get in of it, and do with it. Hey, it's bad enough to be caught up in it. What's worse to stay in it? Get rid of that sin, how out of your life, and call out to God, come back to God, and we'll see God heal this land. I have no doubt if a revival among God's people took place now, you would see a change in our country. You'd see a change in our people, our ways. Now, we could go through all kinds of wicked ways we have in our nation. But when you look at Jerusalem, I told you at the start of this, they was killing their innocent. I've harped on it for weeks. I'm going to keep harping on it. We are killing our innocent in our nation by the hundreds of thousands, maybe millions we are killing. I don't know how many babies we kill a year in our nation, but it's too many. Too many. One's too many. Not only that, we are killing each other. In our big cities, murders are being rampant. You don't like somebody, just shoot them. They don't agree with you, shoot them. They ain't the color of your skin, shoot them. Don't matter. Do away with them. They are killing. They're innocent. They wasn't in Jerusalem. They was marrying it that wasn't approved of God. Matter of fact, they become so vile that they was doing unbelievable things. Their own parents, with their own nephews, nieces, brothers, sisters. It had gotten that in Jerusalem, and then God had to say it is enough. In our country, do you really realize, son, that little word, S-E-E-X, that sells everything you deal with, use it to sell anything you can about? The pornography industry, over billions and billions of dollars a year industry. We are spending money on it. We are spending our time on it. And bless God, we are wondering, God will not heal our land. We have men marrying men. We have women marrying women, and we wonder why God will heal our land. Listen, I don't hate people. I love people. I wish they would all come to the rest of God. But till our nation turns around and leaves our west, God will not bless it. It's mean to say today, people say, well, I want to tell you something. It is the word of God. If you want nation to be preserved, you got to turn wicked ways. You remember, he don't say the heathen turn, does he? He says, this is to my people. They're called by my name. Will turn from their wicked ways. That means his church, his people, have wicked ways that they believe. It's some people today, what people would put a name of a church above it. It's missing.
The prayer is missing. Thirdly, there's a missing promise. The last part of second, the B part of that same verse there, he makes us a promise. He said, if you'll turn your wicked way, and it goes to what he will do, then I will hear from heaven, I will forgive their sin, and I will heal land. Our land needs healing. We live in a land where man doesn't need healing. Not on the virus, but all the other sicknesses we have, all the things we're seeing, we need healing. So there's a missing promise. This missing promise is not on God. God is willing to fulfill his promise. He's saying, I'm offering this promise, but you've got to meet the criteria to get the promise. You've got to pray, you've got to turn wicked ways. That's what you've got to do to get this promise. Church, the promise is missing. God made the promise and he cannot lie. The promise is only missing because we have failed. The promise of our lands because we held as God's people. You want to see what nations is in the shape it's in? It's on the church. It's not on the people who is lost. They don't know. They're blind. They don't know what's going on. They are spiritually dead. There's nothing they can do. The only people that know to do this are the saved people. The people who have been enlightened. And this is where everything of our nation falls. You want to blame anything? You blame it on the church that's in our nation. It's where the problem has come up. Now, I don't know when it started. Somewhere it started that we as a God's church should sit back and take everything that's thrown at us. We should become part of the world to blend with them. Listen, we know that Jesus accepts sinners in need. Bless God, he never partake of the sin. He never did. But he did sit with them. And he was around them. But he was different. I've heard it said many times in our Sunday schools and in our Wednesday night services. The reason our churches has not got any power in our community is because we're all blended together. They don't tell any difference in us. If you was to tell them you attended church, they'd probably faint. Well, I was just supposed to be different, is what they say. The promise is missing. It's all up to us. It's up to us today. It's up to me, and it's up to you. You say, I don't know really what I can do about it. I've heard people say, well, all I do is cast my vote. That's all I can do for our nation. No, it is not. You care about this nation, you can turn from your way. You can seek the face of God. And you can pray and you can call on him. And I promise you, authority of the word of God, that he will our land. How did I know that is? Well, that's a promise right there. God didn't say I am. He didn't say, I'll think about it. He didn't say, I could. He didn't say, I might. He said, if you do these things, it meets in that verse. He says, I will forgive their sin and will heal their land. That's a promise. So it's up to me. It's up to you. Genesis chapter 18, verses 23 through 33. There was a city about to be destroyed. And there in that city was Abraham's family, a man named Lot. Now the sad thing is, Lot was a righteous man. He was a saved man. But he had gotten his life tangled with the sins of the time. He had gotten his life so entangled, he didn't even have any power in his family. His son-in-laws wasn't even going to go with him. And he didn't even want to leave by. He was drug out of that city. And his wife, we didn't want to leave. She turned into a pillar of salt. But before this has happened, there was a God influence on behalf of Sodom and Gomorrah. Listen to this. Verse 23, Abraham drew near. Does that say anything to you? He drew near. He drew near to God. He drew near and said, destroy the righteous with the wicked. Pre-adventure, there be 50 righteous in that city. Will they also destroy not a place for 50 righteous that are there therein? That be far from thee to do after this manner, to slay the righteous with the wicked. And the righteous should be as the wicked. That be far from thee, shall not the judge of all the earth do right? And the Lord said, if I'm in Sodom 50 righteous within the city, I'll spare for all the place for their sake. Abraham answered and said, behold, now I have taken upon me to speak unto the Lord, which I am but dust and ashes. Pre-adventure, there shall lack five of the 50. Will thou destroy all the city for lack of five?
And he said, if I find there 40 and 5, I will not destroy it. And he's speaking to him yet again. And said, preacher, there should be 40 found there. And he said, I will not do it for 40's sake. And he said unto him, oh, let not the Lord be angry, and I will speak. Preadventure there shall 30 be found. He said, I will not do it if I find 30 there. And he said, behold, now I've taken upon me to mean that the Lord preventure there should be 20 found there. He said, I will not destroy it for 20's sake. And he said, oh, let not the Lord be angry. I will speak about this once. Peradventure there 10 be found there. He said, I will not destroy it for 10's sake. The Lord went his way. As soon as he had left communion, Abraham returned in place. Abraham did all he could do. God was willing to that place. I believe if Abraham would have kept on, God would have went all the way to one. But there wasn't even one there. You say, well, I don't know what I can do. Listen, Abraham is our father of something, our father of faith. He was not special. He sinned. Come show the glory of God. He lied to God. He done all the things me and you do. But he trusted God. God's what made him different. He had enough God in him to call out to God on behalf of that nation, of that city. You say, I don't know if I've got that. I don't know if I can ask God that because of what's in my life. We need to get it out. If you've got something in your life that's hindering you coming to God on behalf of our nation, get that thing out of your life, and you go and call up God on behalf of the United States of America, behalf of this world, and ask Him to save our nation. Brother, and if they are any righteous people in that place, He is a righteous judge, and he according to that word, He would have not destroyed Gomorrah because He wouldn't destroy the righteous with the wicked. The righteous in this country, the saved people in this country, if they come clean before God and call out to Him, God will preserve the United States of America. You say, well, I've heard this and this and every election, everything. Listen, I know that we've ever had an election. We say this every year, but I do believe that this is one that could truly be a turning point in the wrong direction for our nation. Would us and more of the things that God was destroying these is over. I don't want my kid. I don't want my grandchild. I don't want yours. I don't want anybody to live in that type of land. I love living in the land of the free. Sacrifices. Terry talked about this morning. The sacrifices we forget that's been made for us to be free. Number one was Jesus Christ. But about all the men and women served in our United States military to keep us free. I know men. He's stoned now, but I know a man that went to the beach in Normandy. Saw most of his comrades die. He went on because he believed freedom. And he trusted that what he did was worth it. Today, all we have to do is just pray for our nation. Are you willing to turn from your sin? Get sin out of your life. Come to God and cry out on behalf of this land. I believe it's worth it. I believe this land is still good. I believe this is still the best place on earth to live. And I'm going to keep it that way. Everyone that would, if you would stand in and come to the altar. I know some of you can't. You can pray right where you are. If those of you that can, join me in the altar again. We're going to do this today, and we're going to do this next week. We're going to cry on behalf of our nation. We're going to trust God to heal it and preserve our land and preserve the things we love. More so than that, I ask you to trust that He's going to do it. Trust Him. You see, the hardest part of this is turning from sin because we like it. There's been preachers lied to you for years and said that sin ain't fun. That's a lie. The Bible teaches sin's fun for a season, but then death. Good times are fun. I love to have fun. Boy, it's fun to have. We love fun. That's the reason most of us won't turn from our sin because we enjoy it. But if you'll turn from that in a short time, God will give you a new habit. He'll give you a new desire if you'll try. Father, we come today thanking you.
for this scripture you've given us. God, we thank you for the promises in that scripture that if we turn to you and turn from our ways, our wicked ways, you would heal our land. God, I want to confess the sins of my nation. That's what the men in the Bible did, and I don't think it's going to do it today. My nation has sinned. My nation has killed the innocent. We have oppressed the poor. We have oppressed the needy. We have done all the things they have done. God, we've done it in a way that we have been so blessed. We've done it in spite of our blessings. God, I want to pray for the wrong we've done. I want to forgive us. Heart to get before you. And you said the prayer of a righteous availeth much. And God, I pray today they would be people in this place that cry out to you, that God will turn from their sin, and like God, you will hear them, and that you'll be getting our land. It's not just us. There's people all over the country today. And Graham has called for of this. It should be every day. God, I pray that you listen to the prayer of your people, and I know you will, according to the scriptures. Ask you to forgive those that are in the middle of something right now that shouldn't be, have caught up in it, don't know how to get out, that God, you would touch them. For those that's in addictions, I've become close to some people that's dealing with drug addiction, different things. God, I ask you to give them the strength. Let them see the need to get out of that. I pray for those that are in relationships or whatever that may not be right, that God, you would give them strength to get out of that. Whatever situation they be in, because we're all have the same ability to be in those places. So it's only by the God that I'm not there and in prison or somewhere else. But God, we ask you today, heal this land. And God, take this virus that's come upon us to oppress us, just take off of us. God, remove it. God, those that are suffering in hospitals from it right now, heal their body. Touch the doctors, give them knowledge to cure them. God, the cancer is affecting a lot of our nation. We ask you to take that off. God, take heal them. God, if it be your will. With you, Lord, we know that we are supposed to desire your perfect will. Help us to trust it. Help us to pray for it. You just to pray for your perfect will. God, trust that if we do that our best interest is your hand, and that you will take care of us no matter what we think it should be. And God, thank you for the time that you allowed your people to come together and pray. A time that we can get together in an altar on our knees and cry out to one who can make a difference. Lord, we ask you today to be with our church. Give us a desire to be closer to you, a desire to love one another, a desire to love our communities and our families. God, I ask you today to bless our men. God, every man son, the sound out of my voice, and myself, that you would let us men, you would call us to be. You give us a responsibility as men to provide for our families. That's materially, spiritually. It's every situation we are to be a leader. God, we have failed. Forgive us. And strengthen us. Let us be the leaders we should be. God, be with us today as we go there. Be with Pam and her family. They have this funeral for her mother. Be with the preachers that's there. God, we ask some words to say. Be with our church as we have our harvest festival, fall festival this afternoon. God, that you'd send people that we may say something or give them something or do something that would let them see we love them and that you draw them to yourself. Be with us and guide us for these blessings we ask in Jesus' name. Amen.